Hare Krishna morning, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, entitled The Characteristics of King Paranjana. Text 55. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sa Yahi Antapura Gato Visuchina Samambita Moham Sadam Harsham Va Yati Sayayanta pura gato Visuchina samandita Moham prasadam harsham va Jati jayat majodhavam Sayayanta puragato Visuchinna samanvita Moham prasadam harshamva Jati jayat manojhavam Sayayanta puragato Vishuchina samandita Moham prasaram harshamva Yati chayat machotvalam. Suchina samanvita Moham prasaram harshamva Yati jayat machotvalam. Saha. He. Yahi. When. Antahapura. To his private home. Kataha. Used to go. Visuchina. By the mind. Samanvitaha. Accompanied. Mohan. Moham. Illusion, prasaram, satisfaction, harsham, happiness, va, or, yati, used to enjoy, jaya, wife, atmaja, children, udbhavam, produced by them. Translation, sometimes he used to go to his private home with one of his chief servants, the mind, who was named Visuchina. At that time, illusion, satisfaction and happiness used to be produced from his wife and children. Please repeat. Sometimes he used to go to his private home with one of his chief servants, in brackets, the mine, who was named Visuchina. At that time, illusion, satisfaction, and happiness used to be produced from his wife and children. Prabhupada Vaisvanga says he Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. According to the Vedic conclusion, oneself is situated within the heart. As stated in Vedic language, Vijayam Atma Pratisthana, the self is situated within the heart. In the material condition, however, the spirit soul is covered by the material qualities, namely goodness, passion, and darkness. And within the heart, these three qualities react. For instance, when one is in goodness, he feels happiness. When one is in passion, he feels satisfaction through material enjoyment. And when one is in darkness, he feels bewilderment. All these activities are of the mind, and they function on the platform of thinking, feeling, and willing. When the living entity is encircled by wife, children, and home, he acts on the mental plane. Sometimes he is very happy, sometimes very much satisfied. Sometimes he is not satisfied, and sometimes he is bewildered. Bewilderment is called moha, illusion. Illusion by society, friendship, and love, the living entity thinks that his so-called piety, illusion by society, friendship, and love, the living entity thinks that his so-called society, friendship, and love, nationality, community, etc., will give him protection. He does not know that after death, he will be thrown into the hands of a very strong material nature that will force him to accept a certain type of body according to his present work. This body may not even be a human body. Thus, the living entity's feeling of security in this life, in the midst of society, wife, and friendship, is nothing but illusion. All living entities engaged in various material bodies are illusion by the present activities of material enjoyment. They forget their real business, which is to go back home, back to Godhead. Everyone who is not in Krishna consciousness must be considered to be an illusion. One's so-called feelings of happiness and satisfaction resulting from material things are also illusion. Factually, neither society, friendship, love, nor anything else can save one from the onslaught of the material energy, which is symptomized by birth, death, old age, and disease. To get even one living entity out of the illusory condition is very difficult. Therefore, the Lord says, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:14, this divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Therefore, unless one surrenders completely at the lotus feet of Krishna, he cannot get out of the entanglement of the three modes of material nature. End of purport. Om Agyanam Tananda Shyaganam Sakaya Chakshulamitam Dattasmai Shri Guru Venama Maam Shumbadaya Krishna Bhutaya Vekade Smati Bhakti Danda Swamiti Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vacharini Nirvishesha Sundaradi Vasitvarini. Characteristics of King Brahman, the conditioned soul. Translation: sometimes he used to go to his private home with one of his chief servants, the mind, whose name was Visuchina at that time, illusion, satisfaction and happiness, used to be produced from his wife and children. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada, like Narada Muni, is not letting up. He's repeating again and again of the sorrowful plight of the conditioned soul in the material world, i.e. us. And it is stressed again and again, because we are an illusion after all. We are identifying, you know, that we're with these bodies, and by our activities we can find some happiness and security. We've been conditioned from time immemorial into doing this. Because they're necessary, right? Happiness and peace are necessary. They're natural. In the unconditioned state, they're natural. They're necessary in our life. Otherwise, why is everyone searching for them? The Lord has made this creation like this to bewilder the souls, or given the opportunity for the conditioned souls to endeavor for material satisfaction, or to endeavor for a better birth next time, or to go back to Godhead, to become free from it. This is the special quality of the human being. Because the animals are also doing the same thing, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Society, friendship and love in their own way. But the speciality of the human being, he has a big brain. So he can understand God. Other animals, beasts, they have different qualities, like, you know, the eagle or the vulture, he can see for very long, his eyes are very good, and the dog has a very good sense of smell, and the elephant is very strong, and the tiger, so they have their different qualities. The human being has a big brain, so therefore he can utilize that faculty, that hardware, to understand God. The others don't get this opportunity. But if we don't, then we're just two-legged animals, that is stated. So here, again and again, he's pointing, he's trying to, Narada Muni, speaking to King Prachinda Parasat, is trying to wake him up out of his illusion, his attachment to the material world, although he's a king and pious. He's trying to wake him up in a very gentle way. So it's going to take some time. He's a seasoned case, because actually he's a king. He is an enjoyer. He has all facility for his enjoyment, not like us. He has a lot of facility and control, right? So he has a lot more facility than ordinary people. So Narada Muni is giving this allegorical story. He's telling he's telling what's happening to King Prachinda Parasat in an allegorical story, that he's talking about someone named King Paranjan. And it actually works in the end. But because he's a materialist, a gross materialist, although he's very pious, then it takes some time to get through. So again and again and again, you get to keep pressing the same points. How the illusory energy has captivated the soul, whose real position is freedom in the spiritual world, freedom and happiness there. and how we can be ruled by this society, friendship and love, and everyone is constantly endeavoring to improve things. We can relate to it, even we're supposed to be devotees, but still we do that. We're always endeavoring to improve our situation to make life easier and to achieve happiness. But although that's our conditional state, we can't really stop that. But at least we can see what's going on with this knowledge. We want actual realization. We want actual feeling for Krishna. Otherwise, it's just we're doing it on the platform, on the intellectual platform or philosophical platform. By intelligence, we're maintaining ourselves so we don't get swept away by the material energy. But it's difficult, to maintain that. It's called anatta nivritti. So one has to come to the position of attraction for Krishna, attraction to the spiritual world. Right now there may not be the attraction is not strong enough to easily or constantly pull our minds that way. Material energy, our condition is still so strong that it easily pulls our senses, it distracts us. So we have to stop that imbalance, and we have to put on the Krishna scale. We have to become more attached to Krishna, we have to get an attraction for Krishna. And we do that by, in the association with devotees, by hearing about Krishna and his qualities and his activities, etc. And then we begin to realize, especially by his hearing and chanting his name, which is doing the internal purification and performing the external activities of devotional service, we start to appreciate Krishna for what he is, the most wonderful person. And although we may not be going to Krishna for his actual service, but we're going to Krishna for generally relief, most people, four kinds of people. So anyway, we have something to gain from Krishna. They're all coming to take something from Krishna, although even the best of the four, the wise man. But the byproduct is that one achieves actual satisfaction by hearing about Krishna, and simultaneously we're hearing about the material world and our position in the material world, then we become a little peaceful, that at least we know what's going on. We're not, although the material energy is bewildering, we know what it is. We know what the material energy, Maya's job is, simply to distract us. So without this knowledge, you don't even know what you're up against. There's no direction, there's no, there's nothing. You're completely lost and bewildered in the material. But now, with knowledge, this transcendental knowledge, we can understand who we are, who is Krishna, what is his material energy, what is the interrelationship with everything. This is knowledge, spiritual knowledge. Therefore, we can become a little peaceful and satisfied that we're doing the right thing. Even though, Mama Maya Durat, it's still difficult to confront the material energy. It's not an easy thing to cross over to get to Nishta or Ruchi, Anatta Nivritti. It seems quite a long period. But at least we know what to do. We know the righteous way of acting and the righteous way of thinking. Otherwise, there's no hope for the conditioned soul. He's just endeavoring to meet those demands of security and happiness. But there's no security or happiness in the material world. material world is just constantly changing, and it's temporary. So your endeavor to the constant endeavor to improve or to avoid to improve life, so avoid the problems and to achieve happiness. The ultimate end, it defeats itself. Because when you get the happiness, you can't keep it. You go, then you have to endeavor again. And in that endeavor to overcome the problems, eventually, you know, the old age comes. And then you can't do anything. And the problems with the old age, disease and the death, they come. The body, the material nature starts to eat. Time is said to be eating. Gradually eating everything away. Like Arjuna says, what is this form? Everyone's rushing into your mouths and you're eating them, everyone. It's universal form. Krishna says, my form of time. So time is actually eating. Eating our lifespan. Then it eats the ability that Krishna has given us. So Krishna is time. He is death also. So he's coming, taking back what he's given us. He's given us that ability. He's given us a nice set of teeth. He's given us nice wavy hair. He's given us a nice eyesight and a nice voice and a nice body. And gradually he takes all those things back bit by bit by bit. And your teeth start to fall out and your hair goes grey and your body starts to bend. And then your life becomes all you've endeavored for to remove the problems, and this is the end result. This is Krishna's way of waking us up gradually. When your teeth start to fall out and your hair starts to go grey, you know that this is time for vanapras. these are symptoms of time is coming. It's time to move on from. You've had your go enjoying when you're young and the senses are strong. So one has to be sober. As Prahlad Maharaj says, one has to be one should see the inherent misery in life. It means birth, old age, disease, death. One should perceive that. Then one will be a little aloof or not too prone to fall into Maya. Otherwise, wherever our desires are, ultimately we get the opposite result. We don't get happy and we don't get peace. And then we have to. The body, which we consider as a source of happiness, is actually a source of misery. But we don't think so. We're trying to enjoy this imposition, trying to enjoy this source of misery, and we won't give up that idea. The false ego is so strong, it won't let go of that idea that there is the body, I can enjoy through this body. Then at the last moment, if you die an ordinary death, generally, it's generally quite painful, and your body is all withered up and wrinkled, and you can't do anything. It's just a source of misery. Then you realize, Krishna said this body is a source of misery. I didn't believe him. I thought, life's not so bad. I'm doing okay. But now I can realize that this body is a bag of misery, bag of suffering. Right? And you're happy to leave it behind. If you're a devotee, get a brand new one. But the materialists, they don't even want to let that go. It's like an old prune, all this wrinkled up, useless. Still they don't want to leave, they don't want to go out of that body. It's amazing, eh? It's embarrassing. The Vaishnavas have to serve you, they have to take you to the bathroom, they have to clean you, and it's horrible. So Prahlad Maharaj says that, he said your suffering begins when you make a plan to enjoy. So that is the beginning of suffering. So Prabhupada mentions here that the three modes of nature is very difficult. It's more, passion, ignorance, and goodness. Krishna says they're always competing for superiority. They're competing with each other. So in other words, there's always one or another of these modes of nature that affecting us. So Prabhupada says here, sometimes when goodness is prevalent, then we feel happiness. When passion is prevalent, we feel happiness in engaging in some activity with the senses. And when tamā is present, then we feel bewildered. So this is what we're living with. This is what we're living, the material world that we're living in. We can't change that. There's nothing you can do about it. So we have to the secret is to become transcendental to that somehow or other. This is what will be explained. So, but first our disease has to be diagnosed. First, we have to realize that we're sick. Otherwise, why do you take medicine if you don't know if you don't think you're sick? So that's why it's stressed again and again and again. We're not doing all right. We may think we're doing fine because there's lots of old people around who are bent up, or there's lots of diseased people, or there's lots of people who are poverty stricken or in anxiety. It doesn't make you any better. It doesn't make life any better for you. It's the same thing. There may be people worse off than you, but that's not really the standard of happiness. So one should be sober and see the inherent suffering in this world and how to not be influenced by these modes of nature. It's very difficult. I've seen practically in a meeting, management meeting, with the management meets and you come to a conclusion. But it may be the mode of passion may be prevalent, and there's some arguing and some strange vibrations because your friends trying to come to a thing and you've got different opinions. So that mode of the satisfying answer in the mode of passion is not permanent, because activities in the mode of passion end in distress, so the result won't actually be good. But that will be the best answer at the time. An answer in the mode of goodness won't feel satisfying if we're all affected by the mode of passion. We gotta. No. That's philosophy. You've got to go out. So I've seen sometimes we've been there, made a decision, and someone comes and says, "Hey, what's going on here?" So you have another discussion. You come up with another decision. It's the same problem. It's the same thing you're tackling. And then it happened again. It was three times. It became three different decisions with the same people, the same topic. We come three different decisions. I thought, wow, how do we do that? And each one seemed better than the last one because of the modes which were prevalent. But when you're in the modes, you can't see, this is the best thing. This is right. Consciousness is it. So in the material world, when we're conditioned, this is right. This is all there is. This is right. You follow you want some security and some happiness, and then you're just going to follow the mind and the senses and the impulses which are offering this, what we sense is some security and happiness. So that's epitomized by the society, friendship, and love, the household, and a person feels secure when they have at their own house. Feels a little secure. Right? My poor, it's difficult to get a place. High price now. It's difficult to actually get a place. Devotees are in a lot of distress till they get their own place, and then they feel a little more peaceful. It's natural. Then you don't have to worry about that. You've got a place to live. And if you've got some income, then you get something to eat. You don't have to worry about that. Now you can focus on the devotion. But that's just the necessities of life. These are things you're forced to do. These eating, sleeping, mating, defending, they're forced on you. We, in the material world, we turn those things into recreational pleasures. Because you have to do them, right? You have to eat. So, but we turn that eating, how can we get the max out of it? So therefore you've got to think of different ways to cook and different spices to add, and then, as we heard the other day, different bizarre things to eat, different tastes, different, it's got to be something different because you can't do the same thing all the time. Oh, this is really, you know, really happiness, and you go out and spend a lot of money in a high-class restaurant or cook something special, but the point is, you're only eating to stay alive. If you don't eat, you'll die. You've got to do it. But so you're going to make a big program how to. And then all the other aspects, right? All the other aspects, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. You're sleeping, you got to have a, you know, your bedroom has to be really special, right? With wall-to-wall carpets and this kind of mattress, which so healthy for you, and this kind of bed sheet which is made from this special textured thing, and the bedstead, and the dimmer lights, and your soft toys, whatever. I had a young sister. All those things are necessary for you, then you can think, you know, well, you really can enjoy when you go to sleep. But the thing is, you're forced to do those things. We think, oh, these are good things, but you're forced to do those things. So we're trying to turn those whips into pleasurable experiences. So one should be sober and see what's actually going on. So if you think about it, with sense gratification, it's difficult to be sober. if you're using intelligence or analyzing. If you analyze it, then it's no fun. At least while you're engaged in sense gratification, you can try this, because we all engage in sense gratification, right? We all enjoy our facility this way or that way. So next time you actually enjoy it, you feel that, oh, this is it, this is right. You analyze. At that time you'd be sober. At that time you'd be thoughtful and think, what is that real pleasure? And it takes all the fun out of it. So, a materialist, you shouldn't do it. But so a person, while you actually engage in that something which is giving you happiness, you stop and think about it. What is actually going on? So it's and you realize it's not really what everyone's talking about. It's not really what I believe it is. Because as Prabhupada says here, he says all these activities, they all go on the mental platform. Thinking, feeling and willing. So you've got to give your mind to it. You've got to surrender your mind to that sense gratification. If you don't give your mind, it's no fun. You've got to be convinced this is right, this is it, this is the right thing. But if you're aloof from that, if you don't do that, then it's no fun anymore. It takes it out of it. You have to give your mind to the sense gratification. Otherwise it's not what it's cracked up to be. You know, but there's nothing better. We've heard about it. People are talking about it. Something there, but that something, that sensation, is taken as happiness. When you actually analyze it, it's not really much at all. But you've got to give your mind to it, because as soon as you become on it, if you rationalize or you analyze, then you're off of the mental platform. In one sense, you're on the intellectual platform. So then you're on a different dimension. And from that dimension, hey, what's going on here? This is... But in the mental platform, you can't perceive anything else, because you've given your mind. You've actually given your mind to... So we give our minds to Maya, otherwise you can't... It's no fun. You give your mind to society, friendship and love. That's what we've heard about, that's what we've read about, that's what the movies are saying, and that's what our teachers are telling us, and that's what everyone is saying, that this is it. Society, friendship and love. So you believe it, because there's nothing better, right? I'm doing it, and okay, well, yeah, it's good, yes, yeah, it must be right, because, yeah, it's great. But it's actually, you don't need it. You don't actually need these things. But Maya is telling us we need it. Not only that, then all the other living entities are telling we need it. The newspapers are telling we need it, the movies are telling we need it, everyone is telling we need it to be a perfect, complete human being. We don't need it at all. So how to get out is just a puzzle. It's a complete puzzle for most people. Krishna says, dear Rishi, very difficult to overcome with my energy. Very bewildering. But if you take shelter of me, Krishna says, then you can easily overcome it. So that's how the process of surrendering to Krishna instead of to Maya. In the beginning, that will be done on the platform of, on the intellectual platform, because we didn't experience Krishna consciousness, so we don't actually know what it's like. But we've heard from the scripture, from the devotees, that it's a far superior sense of security and happiness. So hey, let's try this. Everyone, these people are saying that let's try. We never found anything that satisfied us and made us really happy for a lasting period of time in the material world. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. So let's try. So this is the situation. But you actually have to get, just like in sense gratification, you have to give your mind, in Krishna consciousness, you have to give your mind also. Otherwise, we're just doing it from the intellectual platform. It's a sense of duty. This is the right thing to do. I'm gonna live in this world, and I'm gonna accept this religious way to live according to Krishna's instructions. But where's the security? Where's the happiness? There's a sense of peace. There's a sense of peace and happiness that I'm doing the right thing. Become a little peaceful. When you're convinced, this is the right thing, doing it. But still, it's an intellectual conception. But for the mind, Krishna, that's not satisfied, right? Krishna says you may restrain the senses from the sense objects, but you haven't, that desire didn't go away. They're still attractive. The mind is always wanting to go there. So even you forcibly restrain them by the intellect. So this is the interim period that you have to pass through. This is the hard part, because the mind is rebellious and it doesn't want to let go of Maya. But when you're acting in Krishna consciousness, theoretically, then you may feel you're doing the right thing. You may feel peaceful like that, but actually, where's the real happiness and the bliss? What they're talking about, the bliss, the ananda. So, if you want that, then you have to give your mind also. You have to give your mind to Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's theoretical. You're just following the rules and regulations. But if you give your mind to it, then the result will come much quicker. Let your mind join in instead of saying, I'm doing this, and we're following these rules, because we want a result. Obviously, everyone wants a result. But generally, that result is not Krishna's pleasure. Otherwise, we would be pure devotees. So we have some other motivations. But if you just give your mind to the service, no, I'm doing this for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. I'm doing this for that. Immediately you can feel bliss. Much more peaceful and much more happiness there. Immediately. Because it's right there. Krishna consciousness is here, the material world is here. Right? In the Brahmanda, it's all in one place. There's no distinction in space. It's all in one place. Right? The spiritual world of the Brahma Jyoti, within that comes a cloud, a material cloud. So the spiritual world is all pervading. The sky is also in the cloud. It's not different, right? The cloud is resting in the. Looks like it's a distinct thing, but when the cloud, if the cloud evaporates, you'll just see sky. So they're both there in the same place at the same time, and so you can contact anyone immediately. So now we just continue to Maya, but so Krishna consciousness, as soon as you give your mind to Krishna, then it's great, you're there. But as soon as you give your mind to Maya, you're back in Maya. In any case, you've got to give your mind, because you can't enjoy sense gratification on the intellectual platform. When you analyze what's going on, you don't enjoy it, because you see it's a futile thing. there's some sensation there, but it's not giving you pleasure. And if it does, it won't last long. Of course, you have to have some security and some food, etc. But you get that in Krishna's way, anyway. But still, this is called surrender. You have to surrender to Krishna. Then your devotional service actually begins. But it's immediate, you see. Because there are two dimensions there. So immediately you're in that dimension, then you're living in that world, and you see the other world for what it is. And as soon as you surrender, put your mind back in this world, again that world disappears, and you're back, and this is the reality. So Srila Prabhupada said, it can take one moment to become Krishna conscious, or 1,000 lifetimes. It just depends on your choice, your individual choice. Now I'm gonna give my mind to Krishna. Oh, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati told his disciples, it's your mind I want. Give so many service running here, saying so many things or doing something, but it's your mind which you want. Because that's real. Because that's where the thinking and feeling and willing, thinking, feeling and willing is done. It means the feeling, which is that we want, experience is what we're looking for, isn't it? So that's done in the mind. The feeling is done in the mind. So you have to give your mind there, so then you can experience that. So this is the so many different ways that we have to come to this understanding. And this is the section here. This is the hammer section that you keep on hearing again. No let up. No let up. Don't think there's security here in society, friendship, and love. Don't think there's a place in the material world where you can live comfortably forever. It doesn't exist. It's illusion. But where that place does exist. Otherwise everyone's looking for it. It must exist somewhere. Because 100% people, they're looking for that. They're looking for that. A peaceful situation. There's no trouble. You can live peacefully and happily. So it must exist. Otherwise why is everyone looking for that? So the idea is real, because it is real. That is the actual your natural constitution. Now we may have forgotten, externally we may have forgotten, but subconsciously we're still hankering for that. So therefore Krishna comes into this material world, into this cloud, with his associates, and he's wandering around, and they're absorbed in love of Krishna. They're loving Krishna because they've come from that place. They're not affected by the cloud. They're not giving their minds to this cloud, but they can see what's going on and how everyone is suffering. They're simply absorbed in Sankirtan, Lord Gauranga and his followers, out of his compassion. Everyone is so sad that all the living entities are not taken to this. Why are they struggling hard, looking for some happiness in this temporary, flapping around for 125 years or 25 minutes in that body, and then taking another body and flapping around in this. Oh, horrible. So sad. So he's crying. Practically speaking, come take, I'm giving you freely. Because in Kali Yuga, you have no substance, there's no brain left. I'm giving you freely. You can't practice Jnana Yoga, you can't practice Ashtanga Yoga. You're hopeless cases. You're bottom of the barrel, Kali Yuga. You can't do it. Just forget, just Jnana Hare Krishna. Just take to this, give up your nonsense, trying to enjoy this material world. Give up that nonsense idea and just come and join the Sankirtan party. That's his proposition. Still they're not coming. I'm giving a fraction of the price, still they're not taking. What can I do? I have all these fruits of love of God. Very tasty. But they are not taking. What can we do? Please help me. That's Mahaprabhu's mission. Please help me. So that's our mission, to try to help. But first, you take. First he says, you take. Take to your full, as much as you want. You take your full satisfaction. Then distribute others. But even we are not taking. so many fruits in Maya's kingdom also. So we're looking here and looking there, and reluctant to let go of this. Horrible, isn't it? Hanging on to birth, old age, disease, death. We won't let it go. Hanging on to the idea we can be successful in it. Horrible. But in one moment, if your consciousness is in there, Krishna, then you can see, wow, it's horrible. It's actually horrible. And to that degree, you've actually surrendered to Krishna. To that degree, he actually reveals himself to you. To that degree, you're actually experiencing Krishna consciousness. Then to that degree, you can be compassionate to others. And I mean, if we're not convinced ourselves, how can we convince others? We're still trying to enjoy this senses ourselves, trying to enjoy trying to make something in the material world. How will we convince others? Not easy to overcome this illusion that we're in. We're coming from illusion. That's our ground zero. We're born in illusion. That I'm this body, I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. Not easy thing to break out of that, to become reconditioned. So this is the hammer process, these chapters. Get back. Krishna. Adhyatma Kari Devi Kari Bolte, that's Durga Devi. Get back. That's what the material world is for, actually. So Krishna has created this material world. He's created our bodies and senses. He comes in as a super soul. He activates the life force and the mind and the senses. He activates it. Then you go for it. So then is your choice. You can try to enjoy it. You can try to become free from it. Or you can go back to the spiritual world. Enjoy it. But that's your choice. And that's your independence. But Krishna, he's written it down. If you want to look for it, it's all there. What's going on. And he doesn't interfere. So it's, and this is his program of us who are reluctant to surrender. Then we take birth and we get smashed again and again and again and again and again until we come sober. Eventually one becomes, of course the end of Kali Yuga is not like that, but eventually one becomes disgusted. But how many times around do you have to go? So, but that's his program. So anyway, it's gonna bring King Prachina Parishat to his senses. Of course, it's Narada Muni is preaching to him, not like some fool sitting up talking to us. But Narada Muni is there, but it's gonna be effective. He's gonna actually realize, and then he's gonna change his paradigm and acting Krishna consciousness. Jai Shrima Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Jai Go Prabhanandi Hari Hari Go.